This is You Alone, a Guardian story written and read by Seth, S-E-F. Summary. Shenwei asked the heavens for only one thing. Save Zhao Yunlan. For that, he would sacrifice anything. This is my imagining of off-screen events that occur within the canon of episodes 22 and 23. The rating is teen, with a warning for nearly suicidal self-sacrifice, as well as the cutting seen in episode 23. There's also a briefly shown consent issue. Chapter 1. Shenwei first glimpsed the end in Dr. Feng's tawdry office. Though he didn't grasp at first the full horror, as well as the magnificence, of Zhao Yunlan's self-sacrifice. With hardly a second thought, Yunlan had given up his vision to restore the health of strangers. Shenwei was moved and humbled. He had known for 10,000 years that Zhao Yunlan was a courageous fighter, with an idealist heart and an unswerving devotion to the people he protected. But he had not fully appreciated his beloved's altruism. Zhao Yunlan. He couldn't stop his voice from quivering. He gripped Yunlan's arm. Oh, my friend. You should not have paid this price. Zhao Yunlan shook his head and patted the hand clenched around his bicep. It's okay, Shenwei, he said, offering undeserved comfort. We'll figure things out. How's Dr. Feng? Dying, Shenwei thought. His opinion of the doctor had shifted so radically in the last hour that he hardly knew how to feel about that. I should call an ambulance. Good, good, Zhao Yunlan said. Then call the SID and have them get over here.
Right. Yes.
Shenwei got Yunlan up and settled him in Dr. Feng's waiting room. Then he stumbled to the landline phone and called for help. He sat shocked and silent beside Yunlan through the flurry of activity that followed. Puzzled medics trundling Dr. Feng out on a gurney. The half-hysterical SID team arriving en masse. Zhao Yunlan outlined the awful course of events for Lin Jing, Chu Shuja, and Zhu Hong in flippant tones, barely acknowledging the loss of his vision. Guo Chengchun wept openly. A distraught Da Qin glared accusingly at Shenwei, who could only shake his head apologetically and look away in sorrow. Only when they stood to leave did Shenwei catch a glimpse of what Zhao Yunlan was truly feeling. Yunlan's hand grabbed his shoulder tightly. That reliance should never have been necessary again. Shenwei placed his own hand atop Yunlan's and tried to express his feelings. Zhao Yunlan, he murmured. I cannot say how much I honor and admire. Hush, Zhao Yunlan said. I am the guardian. I can't hold on to stolen goods. You know that. Let's get out of here. They caught a taxi home, leaving the SID team to complete its work without them. Walking up the stairs, Shenwei realized Yunlan was exhausted, as well as blind. Just a little further, he said. Then a nap, I think.
Zhao Yanlan only grunted. He acceded too readily when Shunwei directed him to the bed and insisted he lie down. Shunwei spread his fingers above Yulan's forehead and attempted to assess his condition. He was afraid. Had Dr. Feng drawn more energy from Yulan than Yulan had received in the first place? Shunwei pushed healing energy toward Yulan's eyes. Hey, I felt that. Zhao Yanlan reached up for Shunwei, who grasped his hand and tucked it under the bedspread. Yanlan shifted onto his side. It was worth a try, Shunwei. But we know that won't work. We'll find another way to heal you, Shunwei said. This is energy sickness. Your eyes are not damaged. Zhao Yanlan sighed. My own fault. You did warn me about touching the hollows. Yizun's fault. He drew you to him. I knew you were hallucinating in the car that night. Why did I let you go to him alone? Why? Because Yunlan's casual claim to have been born with a lack of love had shaken him. Shunwei couldn't process those words, couldn't think how to respond. What had life and Zhao Xunse done to his Yunlan that he could think of himself that way? Shunwei! When there was no response, Zhao Yunlan sat up. Shunwei, we didn't know what would happen. I had to stop Zhu Jiu from getting the hollows. That's not your fault. If only I'd stayed away from you in the first place. Kept my distance. Hey, that's not what I want. Zhao Yanlan swatted at him, missed, and grumbled. But why didn't you tell me Yizun was your brother? There was more curiosity than accusation in his voice. Shunwei shuddered. Somehow he had sidestepped this conversation while they coped with Yunlan's blindness. You know, then. Zhao Yanlan made a dismissive sound. He looks like you, he sounds like you, and you spent the last few days refusing to talk about him. That's gotta be a family member. Or maybe I'm just a super sleuth. Shunwei looked up at the ceiling and blinked away tears. He was grateful now that Zhao Yanlan couldn't see him. When he had a better grip on himself, he spoke. Yizun is my twin. My identical twin. Identical? Really? Zhao Yanlan sounded incredulous. I miss that. He doesn't act anything like you. And the things he says sound... crazy. Shunwei suggested. Psychopathic. Yeah, that. Zhao Yanlan moved to the edge of the bed and reached out, still not finding Shunwei in reach. Sit down, Shunwei. Talk to me. Tell me what happened to you two. Reluctantly, Shunwei dragged over a stool and sat facing Zhao Yanlan. It's difficult, because you love him. He's your brother. No, it's not that. It hadn't been that for a very long time. It's just that the better Yizun knows you, the greater the danger. He hates me. Once freed, Yizun would kill him. Consume him. Shunwei had known this with absolute certainty for many months. But why? Because you're the Lord Envoy, and he's not. No. If only it were simple envy. He came into his powers later than I did, but he is very powerful indeed. He was the last leader of the Dishigren rebels. Yizun thinks I betrayed him and Dishing. Wow! He led the attacks on the Alliance? One brother against the other? Jiayuan reached for Shunwei's knee, found it, squeezed it. That's a civil war for sure. I didn't know he was their leader. A warlord seized him when we were children. I didn't even know he was alive. I never stopped grieving for him, Jiayuan. He's my other half. I never... Hey! You don't have to tell me that. I've tried telling him ever since he woke in the pillar. But he can't believe me. He was broken, Yanlan. He's evil. Twisted. He'll destroy Haixing if he escapes. He'll kill all of us. Starting with me and anyone close to me. That's a lot, Shunwei. Jiayuan scooted closer to the edge of the bed, got Shunwei's legs pressed between his own. It wasn't erotic, more an attempt to anchor himself in the dark. Still, Shunwei could hardly resist the urge to throw himself into Yunlan's arms. Did you know I met him on our first trip to Dixing? Jiayuan asked. What? How was that possible? Jiayuan, why didn't I know? Jiayuan shrugged. I didn't know who he was. Just a voice from a pillar. But he knew me. He knew I don't open my heart to anyone. He said I didn't even know right from wrong. Jiayuan turned his blind eyes on Shunwei. Oh, this was horrifying. It meant Yizun's thirst for revenge was already fixed on Yunlan, and Yizun would happily destroy his spirit as well as take his life. Jiayuan, he is an evil ghost. Everything he says is a lie. How could you believe such words after what you've done today? That earned him a crooked smile from Jiayuan. I'm so sorry. Shenwei's voice lifted and broke. Every decision he made was wrong. I should have warned you about him, but I thought I could keep you away. Jiayuan patted his thigh. It's okay. It's not like I want to talk about my family. Please. I don't want you to be part of this. If he sounded desperate. Well, he was. Yanlan waved a hand toward him, and Shunwei gripped it briefly in his own. I get that, Shaowei, but I need to know, right? Because you're my friend. And protecting Haixing is my job. Stopping Yizun is mine. No one else can. Jia Yilan sighed, rolled his eyes. Maybe, but not alone. How'd he get in that pillar anyway? Oh. Shen Wei had almost forgotten that Zhao Yunlan hadn't witnessed the entrapment. The Hollows, after we, the Alliance, retrieved them from the rebels, the Hollows dropped Yuzun into an abyss and imprisoned him in the pillar. His voice was uncharacteristically bitter. Why they made that choice, and why he's awake now, I couldn't say. Zhao Yunlan grimaced. Shen Wei, did they trap you too? Ah, how to explain? Not exactly. I tried to keep Didi from falling, but I couldn't save him. He was gone, the war was won, and I'd lost. Lost everyone. He wanted to get up, to move away, but Zhao Yunlan's hands were now gripped in both his sleeves, and he wasn't letting go. You lost Kudlun? Zhao Yunlan asked gently. Shen Wei started. How did... Oh, the Book of Ancient Secrets. Yes. Kudlun was gone. He couldn't say more than that without dragging Zhao Yunlan into his own lonely and dangerous past. So I let myself drop into the abyss, too. Zhao Yunlan was silent for a long time. I don't like that, Shen Wei. Did you know the Hollows would keep you alive? No. That was the last thing I wanted. Unless you count being wakened 10,000 years later. Is this the man who scolded Li Chen for wanting to jump? Well, I thought I'd done my duty. And now here it was back again. Yizun needs the powers of the Hollows if he's going to conquer Haixing, Zhao Yunlan. We must prevent that.
We will. We already have half of them. We just have to figure out how to get my sight back. And we will.
We will, Shen Wei agreed. I promise you that. Zhao Yunlan's wry smile suggested less than complete trust in assurances from Shen Wei. He sighed and slipped back down under the covers. I'm sorry, Shen Wei, I really do need a nap now. Are you going to stay?
Of course. It was ridiculous. Staying was both the worst thing Shen Wei could do and the only thing he could do. Zhao Yunlan curled up and yawned.
You talk easier when I can't see you. Remind me to turn off the lights when I finally get you into bed.
It was only an hour later when Shen Wei heard the distinctive ring of his landline phone from across the hall. He would have gladly ignored it, but he knew Zhao Yunlan's phone was off, and the SID had no other way to reach them. So he went to answer the call, making sure to leave both apartment doors open.
Wei? Hey, Pausha, where is my son?
Word of Yunlan's renewed disability had apparently reached Zhao Xunse. He is sleeping. He has given up some of his life energy, and with it, his vision.
Why didn't you stop him? You, who claim to be his friend.
Shen Wei froze. How could anyone know so little about their own son? He struggled for a polite reply, but had to settle for icy respect. Zhao Yunlan returned to the sick the energies that belonged to them. Even if I had presumed to block his sacrifice, I would not have succeeded.
You did this. You and your sick twin. You should be down in Dixing with him. The portal's closed forever. I did my best.
Well, that was no surprise. Your hatred of the Dixing Ren has long been apparent, Shen Wei said. Despite the fact that you harbor a Dixing Ren symbiote yourself. A sharp, indrawn breath followed by silence, and then Zhao Xunse spoke.
So Zhangxia is known to you.
Shen Wei was very tired of this game. You are a fool if you think me so unaware. I could have extradited you both to Dixing years ago. But Zhangxia has never spoken to me, and you are not a criminal. I had no reason to punish you. Or so I thought.
And what does that mean?
Shen Wei closed his eyes. You have placed your bigotry above your wife's life and your son's welfare. These are your greatest faults, I believe. Though the injury you have done to me is so profound that I cannot bear to think on it for even an hour. He had to stop there because he could not say more without weeping.
Such melodrama. I established you here. I worked with you, you and your treaty. You should thank me.
Shen Wei swallowed a gasp, tilted his head back to face the heavens, and said what he had never voiced to anyone before. You hid Zhao Yunlan and Da Qin from me. For years. That could not have been accidental. You stole time from us. Time we will never recover. Time we could have loved, he wanted to say, but did not. That chance was lost forever. Time we could have prepared for the disaster that faces us now.
You are the disaster. I pleaded with the regent to appoint anyone else, anyone but the hero who kills my son, my Yunlan.
Shen Wei reached for his desk chair and sank blindly into it. I will protect him with my life. I will protect him.
No, he dies for you, rescuing you. Zhangxia knows it. Magui was his teacher, and Magui saw Zhao Yunlan die. He'll die. He'll die because of you and your brother.
Shen Wei placed the phone back in its cradle, got up, and returned to Zhao Yunlan's apartment. He lay on the floor in front of the bed, his head couched heavily on one arm, and let Zhao Xunse's revelation seep into his consciousness. His worst fear was confirmed. He couldn't even feel the pain yet. He was numb as the cold tile beneath him. Zhao Xunse, he recalled later, had not even asked about his son's health. He had accepted, however bitterly, his son's fate. Shen Wei would not. Chapter 2. Zhao Yanlan insisted on returning to work the next day, and Shen Wei made little in the way of argument. He dug out the clothes Zhao Yanlan requested, helped him find his toothbrush, and even touched up his beard with the electric razor. Zhao Yanlan rubbed a hand across his face, assessing. "That feels good, thanks." Shen Wei nodded and put the razor away. "You're awfully quiet, Shen Wei." "Apologies. I didn't sleep well." "Or at all." His fear for Yunlan had battled endlessly with his rage at Zhao Xunse. And he simmered with even greater rage at the heavens, which seemed determined to demand everything of him while granting him nothing. "Well, you know, you could just—" Zhao Yanlan cut off, apparently recognizing that Shen Wei was in no mood for flirting. "Hey, we're going to figure this out. Stop your worrying, Brother Black. I'll buy you breakfast." "Yes, that will be a great help," Shen Wei said dryly. "I know. Get my cane, would you? It makes me look dashing." That did make Shen Wei smile. "All right, if you think you need it." Zhao Yanlan elbowed him. "Look at you being rude to a blind man." "Behave." Shen Wei pulled Yanlan's arm through his. "After all, I'm the one who will have to feed you." Zhao Yanlan laughed. "Like a baby bird, I'll just open my mouth and caw," he demonstrated. Shen Wei reluctantly revised his view of the heavens. This time with Yanlan was short, but it was not nothing. And Yanlan was not yet lost. Yizhen might destroy Shen Wei, but he would not have Yunlan. Shen Wei would make a plan. He would save him. He intended to demand this one favor from fate. The prevailing mood at the SID suggested its members hadn't slept well either. Zhao Yanlan's jauntiness there elicited only strained laughter. Then, in the space of minutes, they received both a taunting letter from the merit brush owner and an anonymous email about the longevity dial. An email, Lin Jing noted eagerly, that told how to fix Zhao Yanlan's eyes using the dial. Shen Wei scanned the email message quickly, then read it again. It could only be from Li Chen. The dear child was trying to protect him. 2. Lin Jing. 4. Chief Zhao and the SID. You are aware that Jigde Ministry supports the research lab headed by Professor Ouyang Zhan. You may not be aware that his classified study aims to develop the powers enjoyed by the Dixing Ren in people with light energy. Professor Ouyang believes observation of an energy exchange between a Haixing Ren and a Dixing Ren might reveal ways to improve his experimental serum. Hence, he has asked the Ministry to requisition the longevity dial for study in his lab. Minister Zhao Xunse has told Professor Ouyang that your consultant, Professor Shen, is a Jixing Ren with healing powers. They both believe that the dial might enable him to restore Chief Zhao's vision. Professor Ouyang has requested that Professor Shen be transferred to his lab, presumably for assistance with such an experiment. Please consider how best to protect the longevity dial and Professor Shen in light of this information.
That was precious little in the way of instruction. Fortunately, Shen Wei had heard Li Chen's explanation of how she'd inadvertently used the dial to prolong her grandmother's life. That effort had ended badly, but then Li Chen had no healing powers, and he had a great many. He looked around at the hopeful faces of the SID team members surrounding him. If Ouyang and Zhao Xunse thought they could compel his participation in their research project, they would be sorely disappointed. But of course, he would seize any opportunity to cure Zhao Yunlan's blindness. "I may be able to use the dial as a way to elevate my healing powers and restore your energy balance."
"Let's try it."
Zhao Yunlan rose from his seat on the sofa, sending his cane clattering under the communal table. Guo Chengcheng dove after it.
"What do we have to lose?"
"Zhao Yunlan." Shen Wei went to him and took his arm. "This is a gamble. It was the dial that caused your injury in the first place."
"No, the dial shielded me. Without it, Yizhen would have killed me easily." "The hollows like me, Shen Wei. You know it. You've seen it."
"They react to you, yes. But their dark energy has sickened you more than once. Made you bleed. Made you sick. Made you hallucinate."
"Ah." Zhao Yunlan flapped a hand. "That was a mountain river all. The longevity dial helps people. And the merit brush did cure my blindness before. So we knew dark energy can work."
Shen Wei wanted to believe that, but it was his role to be the cautious one. "Energy is not good or evil. It only seeks balance," he explained. "How it is wielded and by whom, that is what determines outcomes."
"Wielded by you. I trust you, Shen Wei. If it fails, it fails. But we have to try."
Oh, that was hard to resist. Shen Wei forced himself to stop and consider how often his judgment had led him astray in recent weeks. This experiment was dangerous. But Yizhen was on the rise. The merit brush owner was promising to wreak havoc on Yizhen's behalf. And Zhao Yunlan's overexposure to dark energy might soon cost him more than his eyesight. Time was running short.
"Shen Wei," Zhao Yunlan gave him a shake. "What do you think?"
"It is risky." He could list 100 things that might go wrong. None of them would outweigh the truth that a healthy Zhao Yunlan was essential, not just to him, but to the fight to protect Haixing. Shen Wei spared a moment to mentally chide Ma Gui and Fu Yo for failing to explain the hollows to him. Now, he would just have to trust in their good intentions. Zhao Yunlan was silent, head tilted, as Sheng Wei considered. In the end, he could not turn away from that hopeful face. "All right," he said. "We will try. Chu Shuja, will you bring the dial?" Chu Shuja nodded briskly and went to the lab to retrieve the dial. Sheng Wei urged the others to step back as he took Zhao Yunlan's elbow and pulled him a few feet away from the table. Once handed the dial, Sheng Wei made a brief but ardent prayer to the heavens. That, after all, was what Li Chen had done. Then he took Zhao Yunlan's right hand and encouraged him to curl his fingers around the dial while Sheng Wei did the same. Together, their hands formed the Tai Chi Tu, which struck Sheng Wei as fitting. There could be no doubt that he was Yin, hidden and dark, and Zhao Yunlan was Yang, loud and bright. Zhao Yunlan nodded and smiled, seeming to catch the significance of the position without explanation. He closed his eyes and waited for Sheng Wei to begin. Sheng Wei took a deep breath, closed his eyes, and concentrated. He was long accustomed to pushing his dark energy into people and objects. Today, he would have to withdraw the dark energy that was poisoning Zhao Yunlan before he shared his own qi. He felt the dial activate and pull toward Zhao Yunlan. For reasons he couldn't explain, Sheng Wei resisted the movement, wanting to keep the dial centered as he braced for a surge of energy. He sent a puff of dark energy to his feet to keep himself anchored. He focused on Zhao Yunlan's thumb pressed bruisingly hard against his hand as they both struggled to control the uncontrollable. A blast of dark energy swirled around the dial, sparked through Sheng Wei's fingers, and seared up his arm. He staggered, but held his ground. Zhao Yunlan gasped in pain. Unlike Sheng Wei, he couldn't have known how it felt to cast out so much energy. Suddenly, the dial deactivated. No! Sheng Wei had absorbed massive amounts of energy from Yunlan, but had not yet shared any of his life force in compensation. Zhao Yunlan's eyes opened. He stared blankly in Sheng Wei's direction and shook his head. He was still blind. "Let's forget it," he said. "No, we're trying again." Sheng Wei closed his eyes and prepared to push his own energy back at Yunlan. The dial was disturbingly quiet. He heard laughter and opened his eyes. "It's fine. I can see now." Zhao Yunlan grinned at him. He threw out his arms. "Hey, everybody. Long time no see." Oh, it worked. Apparently, extracting the poison was sufficient. Sheng Wei was too happy and relieved to be much annoyed by Yunlan's prank. A moment later, the dial lit up of its own accord and shot a lightning bolt up Sheng Wei's arm.
"You punk, you got uglier."
"Yizun? Oh no. How could Sheng Wei have forgotten? Li Chen's grandmother had left a bit of herself in the dial to protect Li Chen. Of course Yizun would use the same trick to harm any unfortunate who used the dial after Zhao Yunlan. He must have known that person would likely be Sheng Wei. Yizun chortled.
"You wanted all the dark energy that the Hollows and I gave your little buddy? You got it, brother dear. Enjoy."
Shunwei's hand felt like it was on fire. He nearly dropped the dial. Fortunately, Zhao Yunlan and the others were too elated to notice. When Zhao Yunlan turned back to thank him, Shunwei forced himself to smile. Yunlan, it seemed, was uninjured and delighted. This time, Shunwei's poor judgment had only harmed himself. It was a painful result, but one that he could accept. He headed for the lab, lifting the dial in passing as if to say to any observers that he was just restoring it to its safe storage place under glass. But once in the lab, he couldn't manage to lift the vitrine. Dizzy, he fell to his knees, still clutching the dial. Daren! Chu Shuja was there beside him. He got his arms under Shen Wei's, pulled him up, and propped him against the lab's examination table. He wrenched the dial from Shen Wei's hand. No, Shen Wei said. Chuga, don't touch it. Chu Shuja ignored him. He lifted the glass easily and quickly restored the dial to its place. He turned a worried face to Shen Wei. You're bleeding, Hei Paosha. Was he? Shen Wei looked muzzily at his right hand. It still burned, but it wasn't bleeding. Your nose, Chu Shuja said. He scanned the room for something like a tissue. Oh, Shen Wei said. He touched his fingers to his upper lip. His nose was bleeding. He snorted softly. Fate truly did like to amuse itself at his expense. Only a few days ago, he'd scolded a dizzy Zhao Yunlan on this very spot for the crime of touching the hollows. He patted his pockets, found a handkerchief, and pressed it to his nose. He shook his head at Chu Shuja. It's all right. It will stop in a minute. The energy exchange was more taxing than I expected. I'll get help. No. He was in no condition to hold Chu Shuja in place, but the man halted. Please, Chuga, let them celebrate. Chu Shuja scowled. You are unwell. It will pass, please, Lao Chu. Please. If you could help me to a taxi, I'll go home and rest. Zhao Yunlan will not like that. True, though it was rather uncharacteristic for Chu Shuja to care. I'll explain it to him later. Shunwei knew he was taking advantage of Chu Shuja's loyalty, but it felt necessary. Tell him I will meet him at home for a celebratory lunch. I will be fine by then. He wiped his nose and tried to look, well, not invulnerable, but at least steady on his feet. Chu Shuja eyed him skeptically. When you are too weak to open a portal? Do not expect me to leave you alone in such condition. It is an insult to me. No, of course not. Too weak to open a portal just means I'm a normal Di Xingren for the moment. A cab will suit me fine. I will rest, I promise you. Shen Wei stood up straight and shook out his burning arm. A smile would have been too obvious a lie, so he just nodded hopefully. Chu Shuja was clearly torn. I will call you at your apartment in 1 hour. If you are still unwell, I will inform Chief Zhao. Shen Wei smiled. That was challenging but doable. Thank you, my friend. I will answer. Thank you. So Chu Shuja bundled him out the back entrance, hailed a cab, and sent Shen Wei home.
He took care not to bleed on the car's upholstery. For an exceptionally large tip, the cab driver agreed to phone in a lunch order and help Shunwei up the stairs to his apartment. That done, Shunwei thanked the driver profusely, closed his door, and managed to make it to his desk before he collapsed. At least he could reach the phone from there. The fiery sensation in Shunwei's hand crept slowly up his forearm, resistant to his best attempts to heal himself. When he tried to cool the afflicted area using his ice power, he encased his entire arm in a block of ice. He laughed in pain. He wasn't weak, rather he was so overloaded with dark energy that he could barely control it. He needed a safe place to release some of that energy, and that was best done in Dixing. So he summoned a smoke messenger, unexpectedly constructed about the height of a giraffe, and asked the regent to prepare for a visit, ostensibly to search the royal archives for information about the merit brush. Then he lay quietly on the floor until Chu Shuja called to check on him. After reassuring Lao Chu, he spent a half hour trying to dispense some of the dark energy that burned through him. Apartment living offered few viable options, but he practiced moving and freezing objects like his sofa and his books. At one point, energy spilled out of him in a wave, knocking over everything in its path. Shunwei winced at the loss of several treasured ceramics. But the release of power was a relief. Afterward, he had a modicum of control and was able to get up and dry his arm. When lunch arrived, he moved across the hallway and plated the dishes on Yunlan's kitchen counter. Jia Yunlan breezed in a few minutes later, still euphoric, and clapped Shunwei on the back. "My savior and my chef! What a feast!" He looked over the offerings with delight. "I am a lucky man." "Not my cooking, but I hope you enjoy it." "Ha! No question about that." Shunwei was happy to sit down and listen to Jia Yunlan chatter as they enjoyed the meal. Inevitably, though, the talk turned to the looming threat of Ye Zun and the merit brush. Shunwei revealed his plan to return to Dixing and find out more about the brush. Zhao Yunlan was insistent on accompanying him, despite the fact that his first visit to Dixing had been traumatic. Not only had Ding Dun stabbed him through the wrist, but somehow, Shunwei now knew, Ye Zun had lured Yunlan near and launched psychological warfare. "I'm going alone," he declared flatly. Zhao Yunlan made an annoyed face. "My eyes have completely healed. The situation is dire, and we have no time to waste, right?" Taking Yunlan along was going to complicate matters. But he wasn't going to back down, Shunwei knew. He conceded. Chapter 3. Only on the walk to the ginkgo tree with Zhao Yunlan did Shunwei realize that opening the portal to Dixing might be a problem for him. The meal and short rest had helped him regain control, but his arm still smoldered. Fortunately, his long familiarity with the established portal seemed to help. If an angry Daqin hadn't suddenly appeared and jumped into the gate with Shunwei and Yunlan, all might have gone well. Instead, Shunwei stumbled out of the portal alone in the middle of a deserted roadway. He cried out and gripped at his burning arm. "Oh, he felt sick. He closed his eyes and took a moment to recover. Get up, he told himself. You must find Zhao Yunlan and Da Qin. He rolled up onto his knees. He had just staggered to a stand when he heard a child nearby, plaintively crying, Mama, where are you? What? Who was that? Without thinking of it, his sword was in his aching hand. Child, he called, where are you? Shout again. There was no response. He whirled, seeking any evidence of others on the road. Nothing. He stepped over the roadside ditch and up onto a rocky hillside of ragged ferns and stunted shrubs. Who had called out? This place was weirdly familiar, as if he'd reverted 10,000 years, and was once again the lone defender of people lost in a barren landscape. Child, mother, where are you? I will help. He extended his senses, and with so much excess energy, he could hear every creature within a mile. But none of them were people. He was imagining things. He let his sword drop away. If he was in fact alone, he had best take advantage. He raised both arms and froze the trickling ditch water as far as he could see in both directions. Oh, that helped quell the pain. A moment later, he sent heat down the same pathways. Truly, he wished he could melt the entire hillside into flowing lava, but he couldn't excuse such damage. Life in Dixing was difficult enough. He would find another release later, one that would not require him to kill more than a few bugs. The priority now was to find his friends. He managed to open a portal to the city without much difficulty and began to scan his surroundings. Surely Zhao Yunlan and Da Qin had arrived closer to the target than he. They had. After overhearing talk of their landing spot, Shen Wei found them pranking the same bartender that Zhao Yunlan had annoyed on his last trip. Amused, he shepherded Zhao Yunlan and Da Qin out of the bar and down the street to the palace. There, they discovered that the regent had prepared a prank of his own. Without so much as consulting Shen Wei, he had determined it was time to replace the monarch, selected a replacement, scheduled an inauguration, and closed the royal archives. If Shen Wei wanted to search the repository, his party would have to stay the night. Somehow the regent had failed to mention any of this in response to Shen Wei's smoke message. Shen Wei lifted an eyebrow and bluntly refused to be hustled to sleeping quarters. Go and get some sleep, he advised Zhao Yunlan. I need to take care of some personal business. I'll come and see you in the morning before we return to the palace. Zhao Yunlan grumbled, but he reluctantly departed with the Da Qin and the deacon. As Shen Wei watched them go, he reached for the amulet tucked beneath his shirt. No doubt it was his imagination, but the treasured memento seemed to cool his burning palm, just as it always comforted his soul. Once again, it reminded him that Yizun's vitriol must be turned away from Zhao Yunlan at all costs. He headed for the sky pillar. When Shen Wei stepped up onto the stone plinth to speak with his brother, he was greeted with an insult.
You've gotten thinner.
Since Yizun's body, when he was in the flesh, was identical to his own, Shen Wei found such personal remarks darkly humorous. Yizun, just stop it. Are you really set on making everyone die for your wild ambitions?
I'm your benefactor. You don't get to stop me.
Shen Wei couldn't make any sense of that. All lies. He heard gravel crunch somewhere behind him and recognized the scent of a yasho. Dachin! That could prove dangerous.
Whether it's a lie, you know very well, Yizun sneered. Who returned you to glory and made you shine?
Shen Wei blinked and returned full attention to his brother. Was Yizun now taking credit for awakening him from his millennia-long sleep? That could only be attributed to the heavens. The hollows were lost, and chaos was threatening the world again. Why wouldn't the heavens just dig up the mummified warrior they'd so thoughtfully kept in reserve? Shen Wei looked down, smiled ruefully at the base of the pillar. My awakening is a joke the world played on me. It has nothing to do with you.
It's only because I'm trapped here that you're still alive. Don't you understand that yet? That's why you can't kill me.
There was a certain crazed logic to that, Shen Wei realized. So long as Yizun was periodically waking to threaten the world, Shen Wei was the essential counterweight. He would never escape that role until the cycle itself was broken. And that could not happen while Yizun still lived. Could not happen, perhaps, so long as the twins still lived. Shen Wei's head lifted in proud defiance. You underestimate me. If I can get rid of you, what does it matter if I have to sacrifice myself? If Zhao Yunlan and Hai Xing survived, the price was modest. Shen Wei might even gain release from yearning.
What loud, arrogant talk! Yizun shouted. Get rid of me! Impossible! My return has begun, and once the curtains part, the show's not over till the music ends.
Shen Wei took a step closer to the pillar. I'll do everything in my power to keep you confined. He let Yizun see his disdainful smirk. Just like 10,000 years ago.
You alone?
That was the plan. More important, that was what Yizun must believe, that he had only one enemy of importance. Stand down, Shen Wei began. But he whirled around, sword in hand, when he sensed a blast of dark energy aimed at Dachin. He struck out at a masked Dixing Ren. The man's arm was steel and easily deflected the blow. What? He winked out of sight as quickly as he'd appeared. Shen Wei cursed silently. He turned and touched Dachin's shoulder. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
He was, however, notably upset. I just want to know what you're hiding from Zhao Yunlan and me. So much for hiding Shen Wei's loyalties from Yizun. Forgive me, Shen Wei said. There are some things I cannot say right now. Dachin was Jiayinlan's fondest companion. He could not be neglected. But I know neither of us will ever harm Jiayinlan. Dachin glared at him. Maybe I can trust you from what I just heard, but you had better promise me. Pinky swear. This was not a custom Shunwei knew. When Dachin extended a pinky finger, he did the same. They shook. This was apparently an oath? Shunwei chuckled. Damn cat, he could almost hear Jiayinlan say. Please go back now, Shunwei said instead. I have one more task before I sleep. Dachin nodded, transformed, and trotted off. Shunwei shook out his burning arm again and dug his fingers into his right shoulder. The fire was spreading.
Feeling poorly, Yizun gloated. My fault. Why, you might explode if you're not careful. And just think what that could do to your mama's boy and his kitty cat. Best not get too close, brother mine.
Oh, how he hated that voice. That person who had once been everything to him. Shunwei didn't respond. He stalked into the desolate ruins that surrounded the pillar, pressed one hand atop another, and sent waves of dark energy smashing through the space. Stone crumbled and rolled away from the blows as if tumbleweeds in the wind. Shunwei gave up on speaking with the monarch. He had gained nothing in these hours in Dixing, except slight alleviation of pain, and he might well have increased the dangers they all faced. He went to his quarters and slept. In the morning, they found the monarch dead, stabbed by the deacon, who had managed to destroy virtually all documents related to the merit brush. Only a cryptic poem, tucked beneath the deacon's belt, remained intact. Chapter 4 Shunwei, Jiayinlan, and Dachin returned to Dragon City without incident. The transition to measured day and night was disorienting. Jiayinlan and Dachin went home to recoup before heading to the SID. Shunwei changed and went straight to the university. They met again in late afternoon to examine the maddening merit brush poem for clues. Quote, some appreciate me, some criticize me, sharing the merit and questioning the sins. Similar sounds echo each other, like attracts like. Exploiting a situation to one's benefit by pushing the boat with the current. Choosing to soar or remaining in the deep. There is nothing to blame by advancing or retreating. End quote. Shunwei counted himself among the critics who found little of merit in the merit brush. The brush appeared to have no morality, no preference for advancement or retreat. It simply pushed currents of dark energy behind the boat of anyone who chose to exploit it. There was nothing hallowed about that. And what exactly was the brush's reason for remaining in the deep, concealing dark energy? That deception could only benefit a villain. It was exasperating. Shunwei startled himself with a sudden, loud sneeze. Dachin jumped a good foot, and Jiayinlan chuckled. Brother Black, you can catch a cold? If so, it's my first in a very long time. Annoyed, Shengwei produced a handkerchief and wiped at his nose.
I hope you're not developing an allergy to cats, Zhao Yunlan said, with a carefree wave at Dajin.
He handed Shengwei a lollipop.
This isn't going anywhere, Shengjiaoshou. Go home, take a nap.
Shengwei sighed, sniffed, and departed. On his way out, he perused the map of Dragon City and noted an abandoned quarry that could prove useful. He would have to seek release soon. A burn line was chewing across his shoulders like a grass fire. But first, home. He needed to think. Ma Gui himself had seen Zhao Yunlan die while rescuing Shengwei from his sick twin. That was unbearable, and not much information on which to build a plan. But there were two certainties. One, once freed, Yizun would come to consume him and appropriate his powers. And two, Zhao Yunlan would always spring to Shenwei's rescue. Accordingly, Shengwei had two goals. First, he must find a way to confront Yizun without Zhao Yunlan. And second, he must assure that Yizun could not use his acquired powers to destroy Haixin. Both goals were nearly unachievable, but they must be accomplished nevertheless. How? Shenwei rubbed at the nape of his neck, where the fiery line was now burning, making it difficult to concentrate. If Yizun intended to absorb as many powers, wouldn't he also be susceptible to an energy overdose? He mulled over the possibilities, but eventually rejected that line of attack. Yizun's primary gift was the ability to digest other people's life energy. He must have learned how to regulate his intake over the years. And he clearly did not fear killing a Shenwei who was bursting at the seams with dark energy. Shenwei coughed wretchedly and sank onto his sofa. Apart from being consumed by fire, his throat ached and lungs wheezed. Heat and a cold together, he thought wryly. Isn't that how thunderstorms begin? The excess energy must be undermining his immune system. He surely hadn't picked up this cold from Zhao Yunlan during that long past trip into the mountains. Except, Shenwei blinked and sat up. There was a clue there. Zhao Yunlan's cold had not really been a cold. It was energy sickness. Shenwei was suffering from the same illness, even many of the same symptoms. Dizziness, bloody nose, respiratory infection, that odd auditory hallucination in Dixing. Zhao Yunlan's rich store of light energy must have protected him, at least temporarily, from the sort of combustion Shenwei was now enduring. How could he find that respite for himself? Ah! A bolt of pain doubled him over. He had to find release now. He recalled the map coordinates for the abandoned quarry, opened a portal, and missed. The portal was far too large and far too high. Shenwei tumbled out of it, suddenly clad in his black robes, and found himself in sunlight above the clouds. He plummeted down, out of control, and shouted in alarm. He threw out his arms and legs, struggling to slow his fall. Instead, he accelerated as searing, dark energy streamed from his body. His fingers shot tiny blue lightning bolts upward. His hair glowed red and whipped hot malodorous threads across his cheeks. Then he plunged into the top of the clouds and rejoiced as bits of hail and sleet spattered against his neck and hands, soothing the flames that tormented him. Brief seconds later, he was through the cloud cover and caught a glimpse of the smattering that awaited him. He rolled to face it fully and sent dark energy pushing against the clifftop. With seconds to spare, he recovered his oldest gift, the ability to fall. Just before he hit the rocks, he twisted again and landed on his back with arms outstretched and neck craned upward. The thud knocked the breath out of him and rattled his brains. When he was finally able to draw in a shuddery breath, he found his mouth filled with blood. He rolled onto his side and spat. The shocking fall had dramatically reduced his dark energy, at least for the moment. Shunwei dragged in oxygen. He no longer felt inclined to reduce the quarry to a rock pile. Still, he closed his eyes and rested for long minutes before he tried to rise. Twilight was near. He had best leave while he had control over his powers. Reluctantly, he got up and formed a perfectly normal portal. He entered it and landed supine on the tile floor of the throne room in Dixing. He tasted blood again, felt it dripping from his fingers and hair. The cold white blur in front of him now was not a thundercloud, but Yizun. His brother was lashing Zhao Yunlan with dark energy, preparing to kill. Shunwei flew, literally flew, up and threw himself in front of Zhao Yunlan to take the mortal blow. He felt a moment of triumph before he heard Zhao Yunlan behind him, gurgling in horror. He groped vainly for Yunlan's hands before sliding slowly down that beloved body and toppling onto his hands and knees. Enraged, Yizun kicked him and kicked him again. He reached heavenward to create a knife of ice and stabbed Shunwei in the chest. There was surprisingly little pain. Shenwei's eyes skimmed across his twin's face before they turned in search of Zhao Yunlan. His stricken face was the last thing Shenwei saw before Yizun devoured his qi and ended him. Shenwei lay virtually lifeless for uncounted minutes. When time restarted and he came back to himself, he lay on the tile floor of his own foyer. The blood on his chin was from his actual fall, not an imagined one. He spread his fingers across the tiles, still hoping to feel Zhao Yunlan's hands. If that had been a dream, it was the most vivid Shunwei had ever experienced. But it was not a dream, he realized. It was a premonition. He was having the same symptoms as Zhao Yunlan, who had once glimpsed a future where Lao Chu and Xiao Guo froze to death. Horrible as the vision had been, it was a gift. Premonitions could be warnings. Zhao Yunlan didn't have to die. That could not be. If Yizun was going to devour Shunwei, Shunwei would see to it that the meal was his last. The merit brush hid dark energy, he remembered excitedly. Yizan knew that, trusted he could count on Shenwei's qi to feed him copious dark energy, even if he couldn't sense its presence. Like every Dixingren, Yizan's soul was a sea of blackness with only a small island of light energy for balance. Absorbing light energy in small, regulated doses from Haixingren had never been a problem for Yizan. He could convert it or spit it out as he liked. But a huge and unexpected blast of light energy within his own body would be a different matter. "You will be the one who explodes then," Shenwei thought mercilessly. "And you will not take Zhao Yunlan with you. Only me." Of course, this required that he convert himself from dark to light, from yin to yang. Yes, that was all. Very amusing. He heard a soft tap on his door. "Shenwei, are you awake?" Zhao Yunlan asked. Luckily, Shenwei had, for once, locked his door to hide the fallen books and broken ceramics. "Yes, Yunlan," he called. "Let me shower, and I'll join you later." "Okay, come over whenever you like." Shenwei waved his robes away and padded naked to the bathroom to clean up. He caught his face in the mirror. Wind and water had shaped the blood on his face into heavy red strokes that swept over his cheeks and into his hairline. His skin was so pale beneath the red that he resembled an actor in kumadari makeup. Red was honorable, he knew. "Well," he thought, "now we shall see if I can play the role of the hero."